Good morning. You may be seated. Thank you. I want to believe you have your message right on your table. God can. Hallelujah. Amen. You have your table. You have your message right on your table. God can. Hallelujah. God can. The weather today is so friendly. I think I'm right. Hallelujah. Viewers all over the world, good morning. Wherever you are, good morning once again. Yes, I would have loved to continue this part two of last Sunday message, but the weather now, I have to look onto the weather for now. I can see many of you are holding an umbrella, let him call it, as if it will rain inside the church. Indeed, it's raining. Hallelujah. I will leave this message part two. Maybe as we proceed, if God give us the grace, we continue. That is, let God release you. I know many of us have been released. Amen. You have asked the grace because there are many relationships that have been disconnected by you, not by God. And you need to be released by God. In order to have a good relationship in future. Hallelujah. So let me just encourage you so that we can move forward. Yes, when the email was being read, I overheard a word that actually encouraged me. I think when the sister was reading an email, so that number two email, which says, we always talking about our battle instead of talking about the one who is fighting for us. So when I heard this, I said, oh my God, this is a wonderful message. If you could remember, there is an email that was read. I think the second one, the sister said, we always talk about our battle instead of the one who is fighting. That is, the one fighting is Jesus. Our battle is just the challenge and the situation you are facing. So we always talk about the situation. I have headache. Oh, no. I'm not happy. Instead of talking about the one who is fighting for us. So how does this appeal to you? It's such an interesting word. Talking about the battle instead of the one who is fighting for you. Jesus is fighting for you. You should talk about Jesus. If you notice your way of life, you often mention Satan more than Jesus. If I'm talking, today now, if not you are here at home, when you count how many times you mention Satan, you will see it's so much than how many times you mention Jesus. Satan, stupid Satan, all the time. Even the churches today, you realize that people always talk about rebuking, you Satan, all the time, Satan, more than the way we So can you see, talking about the battle instead of the one who is fighting for us? And what always bring about this? When we are not dominating by the word, when the word is not dominating our life, you are bound to be talking about your battle, about battle all the time, instead of the one who is fighting for you. You must be dominating by the word of God. And once you mention battle, you, it's relating to doubt. Talking about doubt instead of faith, it's also related to warfare. The battle you find yourself, instead of the promise of victory. Once you mention battle, you are bound to mention, I mean, it's related to doubt, warfare, instead of the promise of victory. And you mention battle, I mean, you mention enemy. That is talking about the enemy all the time. All the time, instead of the one, the comforter. The comforter. So this is just the, some of the lessons we need to learn. I will not just leave you because I'm not going to continue the part two of last Sunday. But I just want to give you some of the words of encouragement. You see, when the word dominating our mouth, it will surely dominate in our hearts. The word of God, when dominating your mouth, it will surely dominate in. There's no way you will stay in the city room without surely go to the bedroom. City room is the mouth, and the bedroom is the heart. When you sit so long in the city room, it's your house. You definitely, you know, oftentimes we dress half naked sitting on, in the city room. You surely go inside the bedroom. So when the word dominating your mouth, it will surely, it's like you put water, you store water in the mouth. After a while, you swallow it. So if the word dominating your mouth, it will surely what? It will surely what? It will surely dominate your heart. And if the word dominating your heart, finally, it will influence your conduct and your behaviors. You begin to see what you are doing. It's not you, but the word of God. When you want to talk, you see the word of God is the one affecting the words. Hey! That hey! It will be affected by the word of God. When the word dominating your heart, it will surely influence your conduct and your what? And your what? Behaviors. It will surely, when it dominating your heart, it will surely influence your conduct and your heart. You begin to see, you want to shout on, the swallow you said it on. Because you are no longer live life of yours, but of Christ. So we must cherish the word of God, the most effective instrument for change. The most effective what? As most effective instrument for change. So as we are sitting now, this is why we give you faith bracelets. But nowadays I'm not encouraged, because this time we are in the church. Because if what you are doing in the house, you're supposed to also practicing it here. I was just expecting you, as you're sitting down, taking your faith bracelets while you are looking at me, continue to fire on. Because you are not supposed to be the one looking at me. You are not supposed to be the one, but you are the one looking at me now. And when you are the one looking at me, you cannot understand. You need to be transformed to see me. You need to be what? To know me, to see me, and to understand me. Because it's not TB Joshua that is talking to you, but Prophet TB Joshua. You need the spirit of prophet to understand a prophet. Like I have said last time, that the foolishness of God, if there is any, is wiser than that of man. Tell your neighbor. If there is any, I repeat again, the foolishness of God, if there is any, is wiser than that of man. No matter how brilliant the man is, no matter how brilliant or wiser the man is, the foolishness of God, if there is any, is wiser than that of man. So let me take you to the book of the weather is so friendly. Where? What can separate me from the love of Christ? Can weather? Can hot weather? Nothing. Tell your neighbor, what can separate you? I can hear you. I can hear you. What can separate you from the love of Christ? Can, well, nothing. So let's look at the Second Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is God breathing. Listen to that. All scripture is God what? Breathing. All scripture is God breathing. Watch, see. All scripture. I read again. All scriptures is God breathing. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Listen to that. Training in righteousness, all scripture. So that is why Paul wrote Timothy. That is, they mean the word of God. I mean, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to bring peace to your heart. What do you need from God? You need healing, you need deliverance, you need blessing, salvation, or just mention. Whatever you need from God, God, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to bring them. Tell your neighbor, whatever you need from word of God, whatever you need from God, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to bring them. I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you. Whatever you need from God, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to bring them. Healing, Holy Spirit uses the word of God to bring healing. Deliverance, Holy Spirit uses the word of God to bring salvation, just name. This is what this Paul is saying here. He said, if I may take once again, all scripture is God breathing means everything by inspiration. That is, all scripture is given by what? By inspiration. So God's promises are only recorded in the word of God, that is, in the Bible. Tell your neighbor, God's promises are only recorded in the word of God, the Bible. It means you can't find the word of God anywhere. If the Bible says, yeah, all scripture is given by inspiration, it means God's promises is given by what? Inspiration. So now God's promises are only recorded in the word of God, in the Bible. Think about that. God's promises are only recorded in the word of God, that is, in the Bible. Mean the promise of God is in the word of God. Without the promise of God, our faith is no real faith. That is, you cannot just apply your faith to receive anything without the promise of God. You must know the promise of God, the will of God to you, before prayer. The will of God must be known to you before prayer. Tell your neighbor. The will of God on every matter must be known to you before prayer. Okay, I'm sick. I want to pray. Ask God to heal me. Before the prayer, I must know if God will heal me or not. If I don't bother at all, I just say prayer. Okay, heal me. And I don't know whether it is his will to heal me at that time. Well, it's like you are dreaming. Not, you are not believing, but dreaming. Because you believe in something that is not factual, but your own imagination. Are you there? Okay, with this now, it's like we are Christian. I don't know where to place us. There are 99% of Christians all over the world today. We don't know the will of God before we pray. We just believe in prayer, which is good. Prayer is good. I take you back again. Without God's promises, our faith is no real faith. Because in the book of Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes through the word of God. Without God's promises, our faith is no real faith. It means we must know His will, we must know God's will before we pray. What is the will of God? I need bread. I want to ask God, give me bread, give me bread, give me bread. Have you know whether it's His will to give you bread or not? Okay, if you don't mind, well, in this case, you are only dreaming. That is, dreaming means you believe in something that is not factual, but your own imagination. You just imagine. You just imagine. If my father promised to give me something, and I believe my father will give me that thing, it means my belief is solid, because it's based on the promise of my father. But if my father has not promised me anything, and I force myself to believe, it means this believing is mere dreaming. Mean I believe in something that is not factual, that is not real, that I'm not sure of, but my own imagination. We Christians, we have a lot of things to know. I will stand here to say we are religious people, we are not Christian. Where can we see Christian today? But we say we are all religion, but we claim to be Christian, we are not a Christian. Generation today, there is no more Christian. We are all religious people. You want to be a Christian, not that you are a Christian, but you want to be a Christian. People we have today, they want to be a Christian, not they are Christian. They wish to be Christian and they are pressed to be Christian, but they are not yet Christian. We are all religious. Because you can't stand to tell me that you always know the will of God before you pray. You don't know the will of God. You believe you have to pray. No, you can't twist God to collect something. It must be according to His will. No, it's a common saying. You say, let the will of God be done. What does that mean to you? This is what every one of us say. Little times say, okay, let the will of God be done. What is the meaning? That is the saying out there. Say, let the will of God be done. Tell your neighbor, let the will of God be done. What does that mean to you? Ask your neighbor, what does that mean to you? Ask your neighbor, is that not what you used to say? That is the saying out there. Say, let the will of God be done. If truly you allow the will of God in your life, it means before you pray, you must know God's will and trust in according to His will. You must know His will and trust in according to His will. Trust according to His will. So, but you don't know the will of God. You don't know the will of God. We don't know the will of God. You pray without considering His way. His will means His promises. What is God's promise to you? Does He promise to heal you? Does He promise to give you this? Does He promise to give you that? Before you begin to pray. You must know he promised to give me the, then you can ask. He said, ask, it shall be open. Knock, it shall be open, and ask, it shall what? It shall be given. So it means there's nothing inside the house, and you knock. What are you going to receive? He said, knock, it shall be open. Ask, it shall be given. It shall be given. Means that what you are looking for must be inside the house. And they open the door. By opening the door, you receive. But if there is nothing inside the house and you knock and the door is open, what will you take? What will you receive? That is the will of God. Means there must be something inside the house before you knock. And there must be something for you before you ask. It is too frustrating. Yeah? Are you there? Okay. The weather is too friendly. I think we need to ask God to talk to this weather. Are you not feeling? How do you feel? Look at my face, as if I'm bossing here. As if I'm bossing, and I'm not on the, ring. What's wrong? Huh? Maybe I will shift my altar here. Because your face looks fresh now. So my altar will come this direction, you come this direction. Hallelujah. So we look at the issue now, that for not knowing the will of God or promise of God. When you say promise of God, you mean the will of God. It's the same, just like you say, what do you call it? Heart of man, spirit of man in the Bible. You see, anywhere you say spirit of man, is heart of man. That is in the Bible, okay? Don't get confused. So we are not talking of academia. We are talking of the Bible. We say heart of man, we mean spirit of man. And when you say God's promise and God's way, you are saying the same thing. So, like I say, it's a word of encouragement. This where you take it home today, that God's promises are recorded in the book, in the Word of God, that is in the Bible. And without God's promises, our faith is no real faith. So faith comes through the Word of God. So that is, you can't just apply your faith. No, only faith places God. And you say, I have faith. If you have faith in God, you must know God's way for you, God's promise for you. We apply our faith when we know God's way. We apply our faith when we know God's promise for us. We don't just say, I have faith, and when you don't know God's promise for you. So we pray according to His what? His will. You must know His will for us before we pray. Let the will of God be done. Amen. I can't hear you. Amen. I can't hear you. Amen. So that is just as that. You must allow the will of God to be done in every matter. We must know God's way in every matter and trust in Him according to His will. Before what? Before what? Say after me, we must know God's way in every matter and trust Him according to His will before we pray. Okay, how do we know God's way? How do we know God's promises? we have said it, that God's promises are recorded in the Bible. God's promises is in the Word of God. So you take your time to read your Bible. Like I have said, as you read, accordingly, with devotion, you have the word in your mouth, and soon in your world, in your hearts. And once you have the word in your heart, it begins to influence your conduct and your behaviors. It begins to do what? Begin to what? Influence. Once you have the word in your heart, it's not possible when you are reading the word of God with devotion and meditating it immediately, it must pass your mouth to your heart. Just in the same way, you must pass the city room to room. Nowadays, there are many doors. We have many people, you have many doors, you can just make a door to your bedroom. Rise up. Let's offer this prayer. You ask God to give you the grace not to be ignorant of your faith. Not to be ignorant of your faith in the time of pressure, under the pressure of temptation, of sickness, disease, or whatever. Don't be ignorant of your faith. Ask God to give you grace. Give me grace, Lord, not to be ignorant of my faith under the pressure of temptation, of sickness, temptation of hardship, temptation of just your situation. Whatever you are facing under that temptation, ask God, Lord Jesus, give me the grace not to be ignorant of my faith under the pressure of temptation of your situation. What is your situation? Because when the situation comes, we seem to forget that we are Christian. We seem to forget we are Christian.
Bajo los problemas y la persecución.
Demandez à Dieu de vous donner la grâce d'être conscient de votre force même face à l'adversité et aux difficultés.
Open your lips. Ask God to give you grace not to be ignorant of your faith under pressure of temptation, of sickness, disease, hardship, setback.
Demande à Dieu de la grâce de ne pas être ignorant de ta foi face à la pression de la tentation, des épreuves, de la maladie ou des difficultés.
Pídele a Dios que te dé la gracia de no ser ignorante de tu fe bajo tentación, bajo problemas y bajo.
In Jesus Christ's name. You know, you seem to forget when you are facing is challenging. When you are facing a situation, you seem to forget that you are what God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. You seem to forget you have what God says you have. With God, with you, all things are possible. You seem to forget when you are facing situation. You and God together, you seem to forget that you and God can move mountain. You seem to forget when you are facing difficulty. You know that. You have to come together, you and who? You and God must come together, join hands together. There's no mountain, and there shall be no mountain. You and God. But you seem to forget this when you are facing what? Difficulty. When you are facing difficulty, you seem to forget. And you need to remember the more difficult and trial time you have been facing in the past, and you overcome. Amen. Once you remember the more trial and difficulty you have facing in the past, this will impart strength to face the present difficulty. Can you hear me well? Okay, listen again. The key to succeed in life, if you're a child of God, anytime there's difficulty, quickly remember the more trial and difficult time you faced in the past. This will impart strength to face the present difficulty you have. Take your time to remember. Just take your time to remember. The one you can remember. The more difficult and trial time you've faced in the past. Once you remember this, that will impart strength. You just say strength. This is what happened to Defi. Defi walked majestically to King and said, King, I'm going to face this Philippine. The gladiator that are facing disturbing my brother and country. The king looked at him. Who are you? He said, yes, here I am. I used my bare hand to kill the bear. We were not there. We don't know when you use your hand to kill bear. He said, yes, because he has done it in the past. When he was leading a cattle, there was bear that came to devour one of the cattle, and David used his bare hand to possess the bear, and no one was there. And then when this man came to disturb their country, he quickly remembered the difficult and trial time he overcame. And he now look at bear to Goliath. He said to them, I can do better. Let me face this man. So in the same day, that is the key for you to defeat your present situation. Tell your neighbor, this is the key to defeat my present situation. Yeah, this is the key. A key to open and to loot, to lock. Yeah, you can use the same key to open and to lock. Remember, David remembered, and he walked majestically to the king. Even though the king doubts David, said you are too small. Okay, have this armor and put it on. And the hammer was too heavy, heavier than the David. When David put it on, David could not move a leg because the hammer was very big. And David said, no, I don't need this. Let me go. Take your time. Sit down. Anytime you are facing a challenge or situation, remember the more difficult and trial time you had in the past and you overcame. So that will impart strength to face your present situation. What situation are you facing that you have never faced before? If you could remember, tell your neighbor, what are you facing now? You have never faced the murder of faith in the past. What are you facing now? You have never faced the murder of faith in the past. You have faced the great tower of faith in the past. You should remember, you are a man of history. Yes. I don't know what you are facing. I don't know what I can face now that could be greater than the one I have faced in the past. Can you see? In the same day, I don't know what you can face now that can be greater than the one you have gone passed through in the past. Once you remember this, that will impart a strength to face your present situation. You need strength. You remember, half of us here came from village. If not 90% of people here came from the village. You should remember those days when you are drinking a dirty water. But today you are drinking pure water. And yet, yellow fever. In those days, a dirty water, which can be compared with I don't know what to compare with in your city today. Those water you used to in the past, you were drinking when you were in the village. Compare those water to the water in your city now. That is sewage. Very, very dirty water. But you will take it without fever, without any bacteria. But what is the causing your fever in your life today? Now you are drinking pure water. Where does the fever come from? Tell me. You are from the village. Remember in those days when you cook soup, this soup can spend 10 days. You keep warming the soup. Keep warming the soup. And the more you warm, the more it's sweet. Can you warm the soup today? When you cook soup today, can you warm it tomorrow and eat it again? But in the village, these are the things that brought you up. You can remember how many snakes that have bitten you in the past, in the village. Mere syrup is gone. But today, the snake bites you, next dead. So, what are we talking about? Remember how you were born. Many of you were not born in the hospital. This traditional healer, they will deep hand inside you and bring you out. That is how you are born. But today, So when you remember the more difficult and trial time you have gone through, this will impart strength to face your difficult situation now. The people you call your enemy now, that you say is they're after you. You know, you were a little baby in their friend. They are the one feeding you when you are a baby. But they could not kill you. Now you are believing they can kill you now. When you are born as a baby, they are the one your mommy alone cannot take care of you. They will leave you, you'll be roaming about, moving around, and they will move. You move around them. They join them to bring you up. But today you have seen them as someone who can kill you. So this is the key I'm giving you today. That anytime you are facing a difficult challenge, remember the more difficult and trial time you had in the past. This will impart what? To what? To face what? To face your present situation. You need strength. You need strength. You need strength. Are you talking of your career? Remember the kind of school you attended in the village. School without roof. School without what? Without roofing sheet. You were studying there under the rain, under the sun, but today, look at what you become. And if you don't know the kind of school you attended in the village in those days, go back to the village, go and see where those children are studying now. But today, look at you. So these are the things you put together. When you think about all this, you know no one can stop you. Only you can stop you. Say, only me can stop myself. No one can stop me. No one can stop you. You can only stop yourself. If you remember where you are coming from. If you could not be stopped then, now no one can stop you. So you need strength to further on. Think about the more difficult and hard time you went through. This is how I nurture myself. No matter what comes to me now, when I just remember, when I just sit down and look at my antecedent, where I am coming from, what I've gone through, and whatever happened, I smile. I say, you are a baby. Yeah. I smile. Once you don't trade your joy with your situation, you overcome. Tell your neighbor, stop trading your joy with your situation. I say, stop trading your joy with your situation. Once you stop trading your joy with your situation, you will always overcome. Because you need joy to overcome a situation. No matter how big the situation, if you don't trade your joy with that situation, you overcome it. But once joy is gone, you cannot overcome the situation. This is what situation wants to take away from you. He wants to take away your smile. He wants to take away your joy, your smile. My God. He just wants to take it. He wants to see you sad. He wants to see you sad. Situation wants to see you what? He wants to see you sad. And once you are sad, yes, that is it. Tell your neighbor, stop trading your joy with your situation. If you stop it, trading your joy with situation, you always overcome. You always overcome. And once the situation comes and you are sad, and you begin to thinking, how will I go over this? Oh my God, this is too much for me. Then under that situation, you cannot pray. Under that situation, you cannot think of God. Under that situation, immediately you lose a sense of reasoning. You will not be able to reason. Anybody around you is your enemy. You will not be able to give your best. Write it down. Stop trading your joy with your situation. To trade something is compare your joy or give exchange. When situation come, you that, okay, I'm here now, smile. There's a phone call, I pick it. And I pick it, I say, hello, yes, your house is under switch, fire, there's fire. It's everywhere, surround your house. You mean my house? Yes, it's serious. Firefighter, they are there. You know I was smiling. People around me will say, what happened just now? What happened now? I'm coming. I have traded my war. With war. Look at you, you are happy now. Satan knows what he can do to stop that happiness. He knows. As you are dancing, they just, somebody want to see you. Huh? Where? You know, see me. Where? You just look. You know the step. Somebody want to see me? Where? You see? He said, no. Don't make it very easy for Satan. If Satan want to get you, he may get you, but don't make it easy for him. Somebody is fighting you. Just your strength you have that to fight by. You just relax. You just make it cheap. So when somebody you are dancing, somebody just say, somebody want to see you. Where? Somebody want to say where? Okay, there, I'm coming. You want to finish dancing? How many of you can do that? Have you ever finished dancing before you attend to somebody want to see you? No, I know you. Even if you are taking minerals, beautiful, you enjoy yourself, somebody want to see you, the bottle will just stand like this. If possible, the drinks will be stored in your mouth. So please, stop trading your joy with your situation. No matter the situation, if you can keep your joy and you are facing situation like this, and look at what happened when Jesus was caught to a man that had been dead already. You can imagine people crying, people were crying around. Jesus was still smiling. He went there, the people were saying, why this man is smiling? What is wrong with this man? We say somebody dead. And instead of him to join us crying, he smiled. He walked in and said, Father, I thank you. Ah, people say, thank you for somebody that. You are thanking God for somebody that is dead. I thank you, you have been answering my prayer. And I know you answer my prayer today. They look, and the body rose. If you have serious pain in your hand, you can choose not to trade that pain with your joy. See, serious pain. How are you? How are you? Fine. You, the pain is there. Fine. I have not been seeing you. Fine. I was not around. Okay. You know, that pain is inside me, but I was not around. This thing will soon go. The pain does not want to hear joy. Where there is pain and joy is there, the pain will not last. Where there is sorrow and joy is there, the joy will not last at all. They don't see. It's like cat and rat. You that are looking for job, if you can choose to be happy, you will soon get job. You that are sick, if you can choose to be happy, I'm not saying you should make happiness. Don't create unnecessary happiness, because some people create happiness. The happiness from the heart, with that sickness, and you choose to be happy, that sickness will not last long. The situation you are facing now, disappointment, somebody trying to disappoint you, you have done so much, your marriage is under threat, and somebody trying to turn it upside down, choose to be happy and see what will happen next. Choose to be happy and see what will happen next. Stop trading your situation with war. Don't stop trading your joy, because situation is not yours. Stop trading your joy with war. Yes, do you know it is the situation that meet joy. It's not joy that meets situation. Tell your neighbor, situation meets joy. Joy never meets situation. If you study your life, it is situation that meets joy. It is not joy that meets situation. It is joy, situation meets joy. In one slide, situation come to joy. It is joy that own you. You situation never own you. Situation meets joy. Whatever you are facing now, are you facing crisis, situation, sickness, disease? You will know the sickness you are having now. You are once have good health. It is this sickness that came to meet you. You allow that sickness to drive away your health, because you are not happy. You trade your joy with situation. I repeat again, situation always meet joy. Joy is not joy that meets situation. Situation is always coming. It's not that joy just come. No, situation on you. Joy on you. You are joy. You are a joy. Your name is joy. Your name is peace. Your name is happiness. You are happiness, you are joy, So just don't just come. No matter how big snake, when snake is coming to your house, you close the door. You don't run away and open the door for snake. So stop trading your joy with what? If you can do this, the situation will come, but it will not last. And you learn a mighty lesson that will help you. But so I want to leave you here. Yes, I know you have seen the advert concerning the next revival. Huh? The advert is going on. The December what? December 9. And the theme of revival is your faith will not fail. That is the theme. It's a prophetic word. I'm telling you what is coming next year. Take note of every word I have ever spoken since you know me. If it's not coming to pass today, it will come to pass tomorrow. But anytime I speak and become a controversy, a challenge to people, I will, you see me, remain quiet. If I want to reply, I will only just tell you that, look, it's a matter of time. Take my antecedent from beginning since you know me. The name of this ministry is supposed not to be Church of Our Nation. When church was just 8 in number, the Lord said, this is Church of All Nations. How many ministry you know in your country that bear Church of All Nations? If it is not a ministry of vision and a mission, how many ministry has 7 churches? First church was destroyed, second was destroyed. How many of business you have done and you still remain in that business? I don't think anybody still remain in the business you begin with right from the beginning of your life. After so much challenges, if you don't know where you are going, you cannot continue. You will not be able to wait for God's release if you don't know where you are going. It is when you know where you are going, you will wait for God's release. Tell your neighbor, when you know where you are going, you will wait for God's release. You will wait patiently for God's release. But when you don't know where you are going, you will release yourself. You have been releasing yourself. I say you have been releasing yourself. You have been releasing yourself. You release yourself in business, in marriage, in churches, in everywhere. You just, you are insulting me. This is embarrassment. How can you be lying against me? You walk away. You walk out of the community. You walk out of the business. You walk out of the church. You walk out of marriage. How can you insult me? Why? What kind of insult is this? This is embarrassment. I can't believe what you are saying. You didn't say lying. How can this pastor be lying against me? Eh? You walk out of the church. In marriage too? This is a lying. How can my husband be lying against me? How can my wife do this to me? You walk out of marriage. Business. Oh my God, I'm supposed to be promoted. Look at my junior, I trained this man. Look at him, he has been promoted above me. You walk out of the business. This is the life you have been living. Situation has been releasing you. Situation has been releasing you. Situation has been releasing you. Challenge has been releasing you. Oh, circumstances. Because you don't know where you are going. If you know where you are going, no matter the situation, no matter what people say, no matter the name they call you, no matter how many years you spend in the prison, you still go back to what you are doing. You hear what Joseph said when he was in the pit. When he was dropping the pit, he said, I know where I belong. Because you don't know where you are going. He was in the pit where there is no water, no air. There, he said, I know where I belong. This is not where I belong. I know you have some words of wisdom that will help you today. Stop trading your joy with what? How to overcome situation. Stop trading your joy. If you can stop, no matter what happened, if somebody enter your office and say, hey, this thing has happened. You are laughing before. Continue to laugh. Continue to speak. Continue to talk. Don't stop. Don't cry. You overcome whatever that happened. But when you just suddenly switch, this is what Satan wants for you. Somebody was, it's a very nice thing. It's a nice thing. Satan is looking at us. Oh, this man is laughing. Okay. He's laughing. And Satan does not want you to be happy. Okay. He's happy. He's happy. See him. He will be planning how to bring what? Crying. So he will just come with you started crying. When you start crying, you will start laughing. And when you are laughing, it's himself is crying. When you are laughing, Satan is crying. When you are crying, Satan is laughing. Are you with me? I say, when you are laughing, Satan is what? And when you are crying, Satan is what? So stop trading your joy with what? With situation. No matter what happens, hold your joy. It is by joy you can overcome your situation. If you lose your joy, you situation will overcome, will overwhelm you. Situation does not want to see joy. They are not together. Situation does not want to see joy. When situation sees joy, it ceases. He sees immediately. When situation see joy, he what? Immediately. That is, he stopped. So, like I have said, next year, the title, Your Faith Will Not Fail. But there will be some strange challenges that will tempt your faith. And if care is not taken, many will deny their faith. Many will deny their faith. This is why it is titled, Your Faith Will Not Fail. In the actual sense, the prophetic I gave last year concerning scarcity of food in a large scale. It will be real next year. You know when something is real? This year is like we are seeing that it's about to rain. The sky changed. What we can see is about to rain, but it will rain next year. So you get yourself prepared. Because the weather so far is not encouraging the crops. And the food is very, very important. The region that so much food coming from, region in the world that so much food, the large scale of food, 60% of food coming from, they are at war. That is the section of nation that have the large scale, 60% of food for the humanity, for the whole world, they are at war. What we are eating now is the one they have in the store. And the store one will soon. Will feel it much next year. I repeat again, the region in the war, the whole war, there are some sections that produce more food to the world. When you say food to eat, 60% of the food we are eating all over the world, the region that produce this food, they are at war. What we have been enjoying for the past 2 years are food they have in the store and the one they have that have been in the ship on the sea. You know, ship can be on the sea for 5 years, can be on the sea for 2 years before reaching your nation. And those ship have reached your nation, they have given you food. Now for them to go back to the region and bring food, there is war there. So by next year, you feed the so much effect of issue of scarcity of food. This is why we title the program, Your Faith Will Not Fail. So now, what do we need to do? Last year, when I was telling you people here that we should work on farm, there will be scarcity of food. We have many people, that last year, November, people went to buy a bag of rice, food stuff, last year. And if you are one of them, please come out here, let's hear from you. Last year when I was talking here, September last year, that there will be scarcity of food and food prices will be rise high proportion. People run since that September, they went to buy rice food store in the store. We want to hear from you if you are one of them. Please come on, come on, come out, come out. Let's hear from you. Come out, come out. Come on. We want to hear from you how you benefit from that prophetic word. Because when I was saying it, that was September last year. I start from my nation. I say, my nation that October, I said there will be devaluation of Naira. That was October. The Naira will be devalued, I said it. And I said food scarcity. And I said politics will not be a business again. Can you tell me if a politics is business in your country? Is there any young man want to go into politics? No. Politics is no longer a business. In those days, I remember in those days, people would go to bank to loan money and invest it in the politics. And say when they become whatever minister, commissioner, senator, or governor, they will return the money back. If you loan money now and become a commissioner, you will not be able to pay that money back because there is no money there again. I say politics is will no longer a business. The people that will do politics, will go to politics, will are people that heart for it, love for it. You know, when you love something, you will not mind whether you gain or not. Just love. When you love something, you will not do that thing because of money, just because of the love you derive from it. This message was given last okay, let's hear from you. September, you were in the church. You were in the service last year.
Yes. My name is Emmanuel. My name is Isa Baruguma from Adamawa State, Nigeria. By God's grace, I was privileged to be in the service when that prophecy was given. And at that time, almost the rainy season at our own side is over. There's no way one can go into farming. But with that prophecy, we now start to organize ourselves in the cluster club so that at the beginning of the harvest, we purchase all the grains and then store it. And you will recall that more especially Adamawa State is one of the Boko Haram states. So that thing helped a lot because without that preservation, if this 2016 could have been a problem for us. But we used that opportunity with that prophecy, you say, okay, let's quickly preserve and then purchase the grains. And we went and purchased the grain, and then Boko Haram came in, burned what they can burn. Most of the stores, they burned it, but still we still have some food. And it is the food that we are consuming. Now, even this year, 2016, at our own side, there's no rain. He confirming the prophecy of the prophet because he says some region will not have rain, some will have rain late, some will have an excess. But we in Adamawa got it late, get it come out less. It came late and it goes easily. So we are now facing problem because we don't even have the grains now this year. Talk less of 2016, and it's one of the thing that brought me here to see whether man of God will tell what should we do now.
You listen to that. Don't worry. Last year I learned my lesson. You know, our situation is a test to mature us. I learn every day, you know. No one is too good to mature, and then no one is too bad to mature. So everybody will mature every day by what we see every day. This year I'm going to type everything in the paper, and I make sure everybody has a copy. So that you can have it and put it inside on your pillow. When you wake up, you look at it. When you listen to what I said October last year, which they are still repeating, exactly what is happening all over the world today. Now the same man is telling you now that I'm not studying geographic geography or agriculture. But by telling you 60% of food, the world are consuming today, actually come from a certain region, the whole world. And that region, 99% of that region, they are at war. Where there is war, can you plant? You can't plant. And the food that came from those regions has been on the sea, and many of them have been discharged, has arrived to a different nation. So this ship will go back to where there is war, to bring food. So this is show that next year is a bridge to success. We climb that bridge. Next year, 2001, is a bridge to 2018. When we reach 18, you enjoy. I hope you quite understand what I'm saying. Look, this is 17. This is year 2016. Come on, brother, come here, stand here. So for you to understand what I'm saying, stand there. Face me. Okay, this is 17. This is 16. The bridge, when you get there we'll have fresh air. 2018, we have fresh air. But this 17, you know, when you are climbing the bridge, can you eat bread? Can you eat food? Can you go to toilet? This is proper bridge. So me and you, all of us, will bridge to there. So that show bridge means there will be some difficulty. You need faith to climb the bridge. This is why I call it, your faith will not fail. So it's purely bridge. We are going to climb the bridge. Every aspect of thing will be affected. You two, you can see, throughout this year, there is no election that are not full of conflict, full of trouble. Throughout this year, we are about to end the year. This is October. Okay, this is November. Since January, tell me election of any country that was conducted that is smooth. Crisis, 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 trouble, 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 trouble. You know, I said it. So, you that is listening to me, make a bridge in your book. And this year, coming year 2017, is bridge you cross. Time to climb the bridge. It's not time to smile. It's time of seriousness. It is when you climb the bridge, you land 2018. And that 2018 will be February 2018, not January. Because January and half of February is still 2017, the way I see it in the vision. Whatever happened to 2017 will affect January 2018, February 2018, and January 2018. Towards ending of February to March, we enter the year refreshment. Your faith will not fail. Okay, let's hear from brother.
My name is Adeyemi Oluwasegun. When man of God prophesied last year, that he told us two things. He said there will be famine, that is, there will be limited rain, that we should go back to farm and do as much as possible to farm. At the same time, we should stock our houses with food stuff because of the food scarcity. I'm one of those that reside in city that have limited land. There are challenges of land as per farming. So I bought food stuff at home. And when he says so, food stuff, the price of food stuff then was, a bag of rice then was 8,000 naira. Compared to the present price, that is within the range of 20 to 25,000. So I...
You store your, you put a lot of rice inside your store?
Yes, sir.
At the 8,000 a bag?
Yes, sir.
Now a bag is 30,000 now. And you have it so much in your store?
Yes, sir.
25 or 26? Can you see? When a bag of rice was 8,000 naira, he put everything inside the store, but a bag now is how much?
And Yoruba have an adage that says, "Ti onje ba ti kuro ninu ise, ise buse."
Well, what I call like onje gan. So you store it. That rice you are still eating on.
Yes, I still have extra two bags at home.
Ah, what if it all? So throughout that this year you did not buy any rice?
At all. I didn't go to market to buy rice at all.
It is that rice you stored since last year?
Since last year, sir.
You are still eating?
Yes, sir.
And they are genuine?
Correct one, sir.
Let's hear from them.
Emmanuel, my name is Ronke Adebomi. I have the opportunity to listen to the prophecy of man of God concerning her economic up-down that we have in the whole world, not only in our country alone. So he then talked about food scarcity. Not that food will be scarce like that, but the money to buy them, we will spend more money on food. Then I now look at my family. I am a salary earner. My husband is a little businessman. I now thought that if I join hands with my husband, we buy food stuff, we only know that we will face school fees. So I told my husband, and he agreed with me. We went to market. I bought rice, mama goat, then for 9,000 naira. By now, I believe that rice is no more in the market.
You listen to that? So, but they just, maybe, let us do it. Because if you really believe what I said then, you will have done much. So maybe next Sunday, we are going to be having a talk about next year. Next year program, how do we affect it? Now you have the title of weapon to use, your faith will not fail. And then when we say your faith will not fail, me, you are about to face a challenge that will make you to think, IKEA is not taking you, may renounce your faith. Because so your faith will not fail. Tell your neighbor. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. That is the year, next year, 2017. We call that year, your faith will not fail. So thank you, thank you. Thank you, you hear more. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Please help me put their name. Please, thank you, I want to meet them. Thank you very much. Hallelujah.